If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse number 1. You know, as we start, I enjoy things about Christmas. I enjoy the lights, I enjoy the trees, I enjoy the festive atmosphere, I enjoy reindeer, especially if you cook them medium rare. But we all know that Christmas isn't about Santa Claus or reindeer or Rudolph or up on the housetops. But enjoy the atmosphere. Christmas is totally in our hearts about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Love giving gifts, love helping people. But we should have a vision for that maybe all year round, maybe?
Yes. Amen.
Amen?
That's right.
But in Galatians chapter 1, it's not necessarily a passage you'd hear about at Christmas time. Paul is writing in verse number 1, he says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from the slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, where we cry, Abba, Father." There was something about the fact that Jerusalem was being overrun by Roman soldiers. There was something about a fact that there must have been a cry coming up from people. There was something about the fact of bondage and non-freedom and all this stuff happening in Israel that God just said, now's the time. He looked down. It's a little bit like when the children of Israel were crying out in Egypt. And the Bible says that God heard their cries and he responded. God paid attention to the events that were going on. He took notice of them and he responded with sending Moses. But this time he went a step further and he sent his Son. It was in the exact moment, the exact timing, the fullness of time. At that moment, God said, now. You ever stop and think that God's always on time? His perfect timing? His right timing? You know, sometimes we sit and say, God, where are you? You ever done that? God, what's happening? God, didn't you see this? Didn't you take notice? He doesn't miss anything. But there was this moment of time when God says, I'm responding. You see, in my mind, as I look at this, Christmas should be all about Christ.
Yes. Amen.
If you take Christ out of Christmas, and I put it on Facebook this morning as I wrote it down, if you take Christ out of Christmas, all you come up with is Mass, just another church service. Hello?
Yeah.
Think about it. And so in that fullness of time, God sent forth his son. And next Sunday we'll go into Isaiah, and I got a message almost ready for next Sunday, but hundreds of years before the birth, he announced it was going to happen. And he announced the place it was going to happen. I believe it's Micah that talks about Bethlehem. Isaiah chapter 7, he talks about a virgin bearing a son. And so everything was set in order for redemption. Everything was set in order to redeem, and the word redeem, to redeem those who are under the law, that word redeem is a little different from being the redemption, being a purchase. That word redeem means to free from bondage. How many were at the first part of the service this morning? How many of you weren't? Some of you don't realize you were standing up here. And what was that about? To free from bondage. To free from captivity. I went to Sparkling Gems this morning because as I was reading this and putting things together and looked up the word redeem. In this case, it's different from the one in 1 Peter chapter 1. Not redeemed with silver and gold. This one means to free from captivity. How many of you are free right now?
Yes.
We're free from the captivity that Jesus came and paid the price so that bondage would be broken, not for just a week, not for just a day, but for the rest of your lives.
Yes.
So don't go back. Don't let the devil tell you this morning that was just some kind of emotional experience and you'll get over it when you walk out the door because things will go back to normal. This is the new norm.
Amen.
This is the new norm. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Verse number 14. And Paul writes, keep in mind, Paul wrote Romans and Paul wrote Galatians, and sometimes they're just intersected here. But he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children or sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. I want you to think about that. The Bible tells us in Galatians that he came to set people free who were under the curse of the law. Have you ever stopped and thought what the curse of the law is? The curse of the law is that the fact that the law could reveal sin but couldn't do anything about it. Come on. The law could make you aware of sin, but it stopped there. Anymore, we don't need the law because people make you aware of your sins. Hello? Forgive me. So anyway, the Bible says that the curse of the law is the fact that no one could be declared righteous or justified through the law. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 that we are justified through Christ. So what the law couldn't do, Christ could. What your works couldn't do, Christ did. What the law and keeping it couldn't do, Jesus did for us. Sometime when you're just sitting there doing nothing and the TV is uninteresting, hello? Read Galatians chapter 4. Read Galatians. Just read Galatians. It's kind of a book that people say, well, I don't know. I'd rather read Ephesians. I really enjoy Ephesians. But you get into Galatians, you start putting two and two together a little bit deeper. And so not only did Jesus come to fulfill the law, but he also came to set us free who's under the law, that we could be justified and declared righteous by God. Because otherwise there's nothing that we could do to get that designation. The only way anyone is declared righteous is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1 with me. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, look at this now, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Say this with me. I am free, because of Jesus Christ, from the law of sin and death. Sin and death no more reign in our bodies. Amen. We are overcomers. Yes. But he didn't stop there. Don't miss this. And don't change it. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. The full meaning of the law was clarified and answered and solved and eliminated through Christ. Amen. Hello? It's not what we do, it's what he did. Amen. The thing that needs to happen is that we need to walk in that freedom.
Yes.
Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the what? The flesh. We live in the Spirit. It's a spiritual life. And you know something? Because it is a spirit of life, there's nothing that we have that we can boast in. Come on. It's not look at me how good I am. It's not look at me what I'm doing. Not look at me what I'm done, what I've done. Oh, look at me now. I'm giving money to help Christmas. No. That's not it.
That's right.
It's about him.
Amen.
Him and him alone.
Amen.
So, here's what people don't realize. It's not a license to sin because sin has its own built-in condemnation and guilt. God wants you free from that. It's a license to live in righteousness.
Amen.
It's a license to live in freedom. It's a license to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a license to have constant communication with God. And he'll reveal to you what's coming. C- Kirk won't even know this, but I knew it. I'm sitting back there thinking, where are you taking us? And when I want Kirk to do another song, I'll raise my hand with a number. So with Kirk, I have to go 1, 2, 3, you know. Do 3. So I'm sitting back there where the church service was going, and I put song number 5 down. I just put it right next. Because I felt, if I get up there, that's where we're going to go, because that talked about being free, and it talked about all the other stuff. And so when Andy slipped over there, I just felt God's leading in that direction of freedom and all the things that were there. The lost are found, the free are set free. So I just hit number 5 and put it up there and thought, if I get up there and he's not doing it, we'll do it anyway. Brian will lead it. Because when you're walking, I'm not saying look at me now. When you're walking in the Spirit, things connect.
Yes. Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
There's nothing that's disconnected. Your life connects with God, and God knows the next person you're going to run into. God knows the next person that's going to walk by. God knows the next person that you can help.
Yes, amen.
I was going up to see Uncle Bud, and I believe he's going home today or tomorrow. And Fern, I think she's going home today on Friday. And I'm walking in, and this guy comes out with 2 canes. Young guy. And I'm walking by him, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say, pray for him. I don't know. Who are you? So, you know, tentatively, I said, did you have a knee transplant or 2 knee transplants? And he said, no, I got cancer. By the way, get me back to the cancer part. Let's start praying, and I've been praying every morning. Let's have a cancer-free zone.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
Let's just take that and pray and believe that we can have a cancer-free zone in this region.
Yes.
Enough cancer, amen?
Amen?
Let's do it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare over Sisseton and this area that this is a cancer-free zone in the name of Jesus. People who have cancer are healed, and people will not get cancer in this area because, God, this is your area.
Yes.
And, Lord, we just believe you for healing of these people, and we believe you for protecting people from cancer. There's none in heaven, Lord. There doesn't have to be any here.
Amen.
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 Pray that with me this week, will you?
Yes.
Will you join me in praying that every day this week? Let's just bind together where 2 or 3 agree. So anyway, he says, I have cancer. And he kept stumbling by. And the Lord said, pray for him. At least I felt that. So what's the least he could do? He can't hit me with his cane because he might fall. And so I walk up and I take him by the arm. I said, you mind if I pray for you? And before he could answer, I start praying. And, you know, he just walks away. Thank you. Thank you. God brings connections. You know, when I go up to exercise, I hope to see him again. Just keep praying for him. There's another guy up there with cancer that is thinking about if he'll let me pray for him. But he's thinking about it. It's only been 2 months, but he's thinking. I'm serious. It's true. But it's so amazing as we connect. Because God is connected with everybody, even if they don't know he's connected with them. And God has a divine plan for everybody, even though they may not know he has a divine plan. That's why Jesus came.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't matter to me if you ride in Santa Claus' sleigh or not. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to me about a lot of stuff about Christmas, but what does matter is that Jesus Christ is glorified. He's glorified. Undoubtedly, people can get too commercial. Undoubtedly. And undoubtedly, many people don't realize that it is a religious holiday, despite of what the government says.
That's right, amen.
But Jesus came to reveal the Father and the heart of the Father and to make lives better. Understand that. He didn't come to crimp somebody's lifestyle. He came to give somebody a lifestyle.
Amen.
He didn't come to take all the fun of the world away. He came to take all the bondage of the world away. Because a lot of people's fun is just bondage, and they later wake up to find out. He came because the Father's love sent his Son, and he died for us. Now let me show you one more thing, and then I'm going to let you go. I got too much. It's okay. I got enough to preach to Judy on the way to Texas. Poor woman. She never heard that.
She's ignoring you.
What else is new? Go to Ephesians 1 with me, will you? Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father, in verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him. Have you heard the word chosen this morning? Mm-hmm. That okay?
Yes, sir.
You know, it's kind of nice not to be God's frozen chosen right now, but Frozen is pretty popular out there. Just as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Keep in mind, I've been talking to you not recently, predestination, look at predestination as to what we're predestined, not who's predestined. You're predestined to be sons. You're predestined to be children of God. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted and beloved, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now here's what I did this morning. I just sat down and wrote. I'm going to read this to you. I didn't write a letter. I just wrote all the things God has given us. I'm sure you can add more to it. The blessings of God. I didn't put our families and our children, and I didn't put grandma and grandpa. I didn't go that route. I went more of a different route. So we have salvation. How many are thankful for that?
Amen.
We have eternal life. Amen. We've been adopted. We have forgiveness. We've been justified. We've been redeemed. We've been chosen. We've been accepted. He's given us life. He's given us his family of God. He's given us purpose and destiny. And we are his masterpiece.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Is that okay?
Yes.
The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, I believe it is, or verse 10, verse 10, that we are his workmanship in my Bible. Workmanship. That word we don't use anymore. When an artist paints a portrait, the first thing he does is puts his name on the bottom of the canvas, I'm told. When God made you, he signed you. He signed you. That word workmanship actually means masterpiece. In the eyes of God, he made masterpieces. And through that masterpiece, It's designed to bring glory to Him. You know, you never need to have a bad day. You say, what are you talking about? No, don't look at it. Oh, I got a miserable day. No. Somebody asked you about, you got a bad day? No. Some days are just better than others. Hello?
That's right.
You know, some days are just better. When the milkers are working and the cows are coming in and you don't get kicked in the gutter. And I had an uncle. I had an uncle. He's gone. He did. He did. My Uncle Carl. Fortunately, we weren't there, but we heard the story from his wife, Clarice. Uncle Carl got kicked in the gutter, and Clarice went to get the camera. And she walked in the barn with that camera, and he says, "You take that, I'm seeing a lawyer." There will be a divorce. But you know something? God found us in the gutter.
That's right.
And He cleaned us all up.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Man, you're a pretty crew that was in the gutter. Even smell like a believer. You're loved. We've been accepted. That word accepted is very interesting because remember when the angel came to Mary? And the angel said, "You found favor with God?" That's what that means. We found favor. And so, as we come again to this time of year, enjoy it. But remember. Remember why. Remember the real purpose. Remember the peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Remember all the blessings that God has given you. And thank God. You know, Christmas would be pretty empty if we didn't have Jesus.